Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network right here. Oh, yes. I praise God for being here on today. I bless him for being here. Praise God for being here with you guys one more day. And if you are listening to my voice right now, that means that you are tuned in. You are tuned in. You are tuned in to the Spirit Alive Network. You are tuned in to the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Yes, I am live right here on the air, live on the road and everything and doing my thing. And Lord has really, really been blessing. Thank God for the Lord's blessings upon our lives. And if you're listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because you're listening to me, but because if you're hearing my voice right now, you are in the land of the living, and that is a reason. It is a reason to give the Lord some praise on today. We are so blessed to be here. We have a phenomenal, phenomenal topic today. We're going to be talking about the love, falling back in love with your first love today. Falling back in love with your first love. And this is a topic that everybody can relate to, because, you know, in the natural, we all have we've all had our signs of our first love, of who we fell in love with, and, you know, who we liked, and, you know, things like that. Down through our life, we all remember that first time we witnessed, or we felt like we fell in love with somebody for that first time, that first person that we actually had feelings for, might have had an attraction to. But we're going to be talking about our first love, and that first love is spiritual, and that first love is Christ, falling back in love with our first love. Amen. Today, it is the October the 9th, and on today, we must understand that our first love, our first thought, our first inkling of our lives should be about Christ. And some of us, when we get to a place of stagnation, and I'm just using a word here, I just made that word up, y'all, that place of me being stagnant in our walk with Christ, we begin to fall out of love with Christ. We think that, hey, we've been in church for so many years, we've been going, and we start getting stagnant in our prayer life, we start getting stagnant in our fasting life, we just start doing things that, you know, maybe we might get a little stagnant, you know, once we've been saved a year, 2 years, 3 years, up to 4 or 5 years, we start to get stagnant, but we still need to have that fire for when we first got saved. Amen. We need to keep that fire, and that's that falling in love with our first love. Amen. I remember the day that I received the Holy Ghost, and that Holy Ghost fell on me, and I received it speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. I remember that day. It was a Sunday morning for me, and I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and I went down in Jesus' name, and I came up speaking in tongues, and I just had it was like I had a new leash on life. Like, everything was brand new. The world looked brand new to me and everything. And that same energy that we had when we first got saved, we need to keep that in our life today. And that's what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about the things that we need to keep our focus on Christ, not just to keep our focus on Christ, not just to keep our focus on the ministry that he has for us, not just the ministry, but the love that we have for him. And it's not, when I say the love that we have for him, it's a respect factor. Amen. We don't show the Lord enough respect. When I say we don't show the Lord enough respect, I mean we don't show him enough honor like we would do the things that we love to do. The things that we love to do, we put that first. You know, we try to put the things that we love first. Amen. You know, some of us like going to the mall or buying clothes or whatever or whatnot. And we like doing these things. We like having our lives, you know, the way we want it. You know, we wanna go here and go there, and we take day to day. We go day to day and take life for granted because we have the mobility of our limbs, and we got a car and we got a house and we got all this, we got a little bit of money in the bank, and we become stagnant in our walk with Christ sometimes because we have all this stuff. So we're being blessed so much that we're like, we really don't need Christ at that moment. So we put him on the back burner. Some of us can become stagnant in that way. Some of us can become stagnant in our walk with Christ by praying less than what we used to pray. Amen. Some of us that have been walking with Christ, I've done it. I'm not going to stand here or sit here and say I have never done that, like where the Lord has told me to pray and, you know, I just gotten off from work and I'm tired and I'm like, Lord, wait a minute, hold on. Like, I just got home from work, I'm tired, and you want me to pray right now? Don't you understand that I just got home from work and stuff? And that's how our bodies feel. Like, we feel tired and we feel drained, but the Lord is telling us to get up and pray. And we should be in our falling in love with Christ, we should be ready at any moment to do what the Lord asks us to do. At any moment, be ready for when the Lord, you know, calls us to do something. And that's the love, that's us falling in love. When you fall in love with somebody, you're going to do all you can for them. Amen? And when you first get saved, you're going to see that, hey, Jesus is the center of my life. He's the first and the last of my life, and I'm going to do all I can. And like I said at the beginning, sometimes we can fall into that place where, hey, Lord, look, I'm tired. I've lived holy. I've lived safe. I've been saved 10, 20 years. And you know what? You know, sister or brother so-and-so is not praying enough, and they're all right. And I've seen this. I've seen this happen where a sister was watching another sister, and they were like, oh, well, they ain't praying as much as I am. they're not praying as much as I am, and they're all right. And then that person, got down on their prayer life, and they got messed up behind it. So just because it looks good from, and I said that to say this, just because a person's life looks good and you're standing on the outside of that person's life and it looks good to you, it may not always be good. They might be tore up on the inside because they're not praying enough. That's why we need to fall in love with our first love again. We need to stay in love with our first love. Stay focused on our relationship. Stay focused on what God has for us. Amen. And if you see your brother and sister, if your brother and sister is struggling, have the love of Christ to be able to pray for them. Don't kick them down. Don't talk about them, But, me personally, I have a lot of people down through my life that I have watched down through the years, saints, my family, things like that. And I've watched people like my father, like my mother, and I'll say this, in falling in love with Christ, you got to learn how to live life. The Lord will teach you how to live life. And still live holy. You can still live holy. You can still live holy, but still live life. And there comes a time and a place, especially when you've grown up in church. When you've grown up in church, you may not know, like me, there was a time in my life where I did not know what it was on the outside of church. Outside of church, I didn't know what life was like. As I'm getting older, I'm starting to see what life is really about and why my parents did what they did and talked the way they talked and not let me do the things that I wanted to do because they were getting me ready for what was to come for me to be an adult. They were getting me ready. And so now we have to, as people of Christ, as people of God, we have to take the foundation that we have sat up under, the foundation that we have, and we must increase our life for the Lord. We must increase our love for the Lord. We must increase our relationship with Christ. We must increase our prayer life. We must take what we were founded upon and increase it. Don't let it die because by being stagnant. Don't let it die by you say, well, sister over here is not praying enough, or brother over here is not praying. Well, it's okay for me not to pray three times a day. It's okay. I can pray two times a day and be all right. That may not be right for you. The Lord might tell you to pray five times out of a day. You don't know everybody wants to go to heaven. And I've said this on the show many, many of times. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but everybody's not going. Everybody's not going. And just like everybody wants to go to heaven and everybody's not going, everybody doesn't have the same life. Everybody doesn't have the same road. Everybody doesn't have the road that I'm taking. The road that the Lord has me going down, it's not the same road that my sister or brother in the church is going down. Amen. We live this life for the Lord. We live this life. We live this life for Christ. We live this life to be read by all men. We live this life to show the love of Christ. But the only way to show the love of Christ is to be in love with Him. We have to be in love with God so much that we have to be in love with Him so much that we love the love
that we love. Amen? And I know that's hard to grasp, but when you love God so hard, you will love the love that loves. Come on now. You will love the love that loves you. That you'll do anything for the love that you receive from him. You'll do anything for him so that you might, so that that love that you show him, and God's love is better than our love. He reciprocates the love that he receives. He reciprocates that. He shows us love. Even when we're not so lovable, he's still showing us love. Amen. He's still making a way out of no way. He's still opening doors. Now, I'm telling you now, if you don't love a person that loves you like that, then something's wrong. Something is wrong with that individual. If that individual does not want to love a person that when you're not so lovable, he loves you. He loves you beyond measure. As my grandmother, my great-grandmother, she used to tell me, I love you this much. And she used to open out her arms as wide as she could to show me how much she loved me. And when she used to hold out her arms and show me how much she loved me. And she'd be like, Adam, I love you this much. Well, guess what? The Lord loves us that way. But his love goes way beyond that. His love went way beyond that because his love goes from the cross to the grave to him being resurrected with all power to saving us to the day of Pentecost when he sent the Holy Ghost to the day that you received and I received the Holy Ghost, that he put his spirit on the inside of us. And when you fall in love with your first love, you'll let that love activate you. And what I mean by letting that love activate you, you'll let that love lead you. You'll let that love guide you. And some of us have lost sight of that. I know in my life, sometimes we get a little bit weary. We get a little bit, off track. And we get a little bit, and I'm going to say it like that, we get a little bit dumbfounded. We like, wait a minute. Like, maybe I don't have to do this or do that anymore. Maybe I don't have to do that or do this as much as I used to do it. We get a little bit crazy. We get a little bit foolish. I've been there. We've all been there. Underneath the foolish mentality of once in our life, once or twice in our life, maybe three times in our life, maybe more than that. But we must. The only way for us to make it to heaven is to fall back in love with our first love. The Bible tells us that he needs to be first in our lives. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. You know why those things are added unto you when you seek him? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. He said, there is no good thing that he will withhold from us. A person that walks up right before him, there's no good thing that he will withhold from you. A person that true, and you know what? Just like we know when somebody really, really loves us, just like we know when somebody really, really, I mean, they love us unconditionally. Don't you know the Lord knows if you really, really love him or not? Now, we can say all day that we love the Lord. We can say, We can shout around. I mean, we can dance all day through the church. We can shout all day through the church and say we love the Lord. We can scream it from the mountaintop. But it's our actions that show that we love him, to show that we have fell in love with him. It's our actions. It's not just our words. It's not just our, it's not just what we say. It's about what we do. My uncle used to say it all the time. My uncle JC used to say it all the time. You can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? You can talk all day that you love Christ. You can talk all day, but it's your actions. The actions of a man speak volumes. The actions of a man speak volumes. And those actions that we give show the Lord if we love him, if we truly, truly love him or not, and truly show him if we all really fell in love with him or not. Because if you fall in love with Jesus, there's nothing else that you need. There's nothing else that you need. You don't need man. You don't need woman. You don't need mama. You don't need daddy. Now, don't get me wrong. Love your family. Love them. If you love Christ the way we say we do, don't you know that love will precipitate even over your enemies? The Bible says, love them that despitefully use you. If you got the love of Christ on the inside of you, you'll be able to do what Jesus did on the cross. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You'll be able to say that. Forgive them. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We'll be able to all say that. We'll be able to say that all day and all night. But we have to show the love of Christ. We have to have the love on the inside of us. We have to have it on the inside of us. And the only way to get it is by receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if we have that gift of the Holy Ghost, we can reciprocate that love. Yes, we can. We can reciprocate that love. Amen. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns today, you can hit me up on my personal Facebook page on today. You can go right there to Adam Tuggle. And you can also go to our chat room, and you can leave your questions there, and Bishop Cook will get those questions to me, and we'll try to answer them the best we can live on the air on today. Amen. We thank God for everybody that tunes in to the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network. Also, we also want to tell you guys about the summit Internet radio podcast show as well. We do those shows every Monday, amen. And we love the fact that we are able to. We love the fact that we are able to bring forth the ministry of Christ on this network in Jesus' name. We thank God for Bishop Cook for allowing us to come and bring forth what God has given us. Amen. But getting back to the topic on today, we must understand as well, that the only way for us to fall in love with him is to understand. We can't fall in love with, you don't fall in love with somebody until you really, really get to know them. Amen. It's as simple as that. You can't fall in love with somebody that you don't know. You can't. And there's no way. You got to get to know them, especially if you talk about a natural relationship. I'm talking about a natural relationship. You don't just fall in love. I don't like it when people say, oh, I fell in love. They have a TV show now where people are getting married at first sight. Amen. They have a TV show,
Amen.
And I think it's on We or something like that, or some TV network. I think it's on OWN or something.
That's right. It's We. Mm-hmm.
And they are getting married at first sight. I'm like, how can you get married at first sight? I have to get to know you first before I marry you. Amen. But that's the same thing with Christ. We have to learn his statutes. We have to learn his benefits toward us. That's what the word of God is there for. Amen. We have to learn the things about God, what God wants from us, what we want from him. He learns us. He said he knows us better than we know ourselves. Amen. He said he knows us better than we know ourselves. Now, he knows us, but he wants, out of his love for us, he wants us to tell him about us, what's going on with us. But just like me being a husband, I want to know when my wife is hurting. Sometimes I know when she's hurting, but I just want to know, hey, look, baby, is there anything I can do for you? Same thing with the Lord. And that's should be, if we have the love of Christ on the inside of us, that's the way we should be with the Lord. We should be the same way with God. God, is there anything that you want us to do? Is there anything that you want me to do today? How do you want me to walk today? How do you want me to talk today? Who do you want me to witness to today? That should be our desire. That's falling in love with him. That's falling in love with God. That's falling in love with your first love. Amen. That's falling in love with your first love. Amen. Asking him, not always telling him what you want. You know, I don't always tell my wife what I want. I don't always do that. Sometimes I ask her, what do you want? And there's a lot of time where I ask my wife, I do it so much that it gets on her nerves sometimes. Sometimes she's like, babe, okay, look, what do you want? And I'll be like, I don't know. What do you want? Sometimes when we go out, sometimes when we're both off from work and my kids are at school sometimes, and those days where we're just both off from work and we just want to go get something to eat. Well, one day, and this is a story, y'all. One day, me and my wife both had off day. And me and my wife, we were both talking. We were laying in the bed. And I'm like, I'm hungry. And she was like, yeah, I'm hungry too. She said, what you want to get to eat? I don't know. What you want? She was like, I don't know. What you want? What you want to get? But that's the same thing. That's a relationship. Amen? You reciprocate that love. You reciprocate that love. I'm asking her what she wants. She asking me what I want to eat. And finally, we agreed on something, amen. But that's the same thing with the Lord. A lot of times, let me tell y'all something. A lot of us, and I hate to go here, but a lot of us have a one-sided relationship with Christ. You might say, well, no, I don't have a one-sided relationship with Christ. What you mean?
we always want something from Christ, but we never ask Christ what we want, what he wants from us. We treat God like a Santa Claus. We always telling God. We're always telling him what we want. We're always acknowledging what we want, but we never acknowledge what he wants from us. Amen. We're always, you know, giving our requests. We're always letting our requests be made known, but we never let his requests be made known. Amen. We never, ever. You don't never, ever go into a relationship. You don't be in a relationship, in a marriage, and never, ever let your spouse tell you what they want. I've never seen a marriage work that way. I've never seen a relationship work that way. I've never seen a friendship work that way. Where it's always you telling them what you want. And we do that to Christ. A lot of us, we do that to Christ. And it's wrong. We're in a one-track mind. We got a one-track relationship mindset. Well, we think, okay, God is Santa Claus. He's going to do what I tell him to do. And you know what that is? If you in a relationship doing that, you know what that is? That's abuse. It is. They're going to do what I tell them to do. That everything I want done, they're going to do. And we see relationships like that. That's not falling in love with somebody. That's abuse. And it ain't right. It ain't right. And I'm here to tell you. Every time I go somewhere, I'm always thinking about my wife and my children, what they need, what does the house need, that's the love I have for them. That's the same thing with Christ with us. He's wanting to know what we need from him so that we can reciprocate that love, so that we might be able to grow in our natural lives, so that we might be able to show the love of Christ. Because if we're weak all the time, we can't move for him. We can't do nothing. If we're always bogged down with problems, bogged down with things, bogged down with life, we always bogged down with something. And we can't move the way God wants us to move because we always worried about this issue and worried about that issue. God trying to take some of the issues off of us and trying to ask us, okay, tell me what you need so that I can remove that and help you so you can reciprocate the love that I've given you. But we don't want to do that. We want to tell God everything that we need, everything that we want to tell God what we want. We want the houses, we want the cars, we want the clothes, we want this and we want that. But we never get to a place where we're asking God what does he want, because we're always boggling ourselves down. And it becomes a one-sided relationship. It becomes one-sided. And the devil is a liar. When we saying, the devil is alive when we do that. When we get to a place where we think we're one, that the Lord's going to do what we ask him to do, when we get to a place where we start telling God, well, God, I want this, God, I want that, God, I want this, God, I want that, and we never ask God, what does he want from us? Do you want me to fast today? Who do you want me to pray for today? Sometimes God will tell you what he wants, and we don't even acknowledge it. Sometimes God will tell us,
And you might say, well, when does God tell us what He wants? When somebody's on your mind to pray for, God's telling you to pray for a person, and you just blow it off. God's telling if there's a person on your mind throughout the day, just all of a sudden you start thinking about that individual. You ain't heard from that individual. You ain't heard from them. You ain't seen them. Especially if you ain't seen them in years or months or weeks or days. Any of those categories where you ain't seen that individual or individuals that start coming to your mind, that ain't you. That's the Lord telling you to pray for them, especially if they keep coming to your mind. That's what the Lord wants. The Lord wants you to do something for Him. He wants to see what you're going to do. But if we boggle down with issues and problems, we boggle down with issues and problems all the time because we worried about this. We worried about that. We worried about this. We worried about that. We worried about how we gonna get this car note paid, and we wondering how we gonna get this, how we gonna get those new shoes, and all of this. Look, let me tell you something. You sound like a little kid. You sound like a little kid if you think that way. If you think that every time you come to the Lord that you need to ask Him for something or what you want, you sound like a little kid. And the reason why I say a person sounds like a little kid if they doing that is because my baby's in there. My three boys ask me for a lot. And sometimes I have to tell them no. But you sound like a little kid if you come into the Lord all the time and you never ask Him, what do you want, Lord? We never, most of the time as saints of God, we come in, and then we come in doubt at that. And I know this is about our first love, but this is where we come, this is building us up to our first love. Stop coming to the Lord in prayer and you already doubt. Uh-oh. Please. That's where we get messed up at, because if we come to the Lord in prayer and we doubt, there's no need for us to pray. We come into Him in doubt for this. We come into Him in doubt for that. We believe that He can heal a toe ache, but we don't believe that He can heal cancer. You better believe Him that He can heal cancer just as well as that toe ache. He said He is the healer of all manner of sickness and every disease. He can heal. He said by His stripes we are healed. And that just don't mean physical healing. That means mental healing, emotional healing, physical healing. Whatever trauma you've been through, He loves you enough to heal you. He loves you enough to save you out of that dilemma. He loves you enough. He loved me enough. He loved us enough. Amen. He loved us enough to set us free. But we have to reciprocate that love. We have to show that we love Him. We have to show that. And the way that we show that is through our prayer, through our fasting, through our belief. Because without Him, we would be nothing. Without Him, we would be nothing. We can't move. We can't breathe. We can't do nothing without Him. So
the next time, don't you know that that shows a lack of love when you go doubting? When you go doubting the Lord, that shows a lack of love for him. He wants you to trust him in everything. He wants you to trust him in everything that we go through and everything that we do. We got to trust him. Because if he didn't want us to trust him in everything, he wouldn't have told us to do so. He wouldn't have told us to do so. He wouldn't have told us to trust him in everything that we do. But we got to trust him. We got to believe him. See, and there's one thing. You know, it also, the love of Christ, returning to our first love, we gotta stay on the wall. We got to stay on the wall because we are living in the last days. We're living in the last days, y'all. The Bible says that we are living in the last days. Perilous times shall come. Perilous times are here. And if we want to make it, we can't go tippy-toeing around it. We can't go hopscotching around it. We can't play patty cake with it. We can't sugarcoat it. We have to live this life. And we got to live it to the best of our ability. We got to live it to the best of our ability. Because if we don't, we're going to end up missing the mark. We're going to end up missing the blessings that God's got for us because we don't have long. We ain't got long to be here. We ain't got long to be here. We ain't got that much longer. Time is not on our side. Time is of the essence. There's an old song that says, my time and your time. Time is winding up. Time is winding up. Destruction's all over the land. God's going to move his hand, and time is winding up. It is almost time for the coming of the Lord. And I know you've heard it being preached through generation from generation. I know I have. Almost 34 years I've been hearing all my life that the Lord is coming. But there will come a day. It might, and you know what? It might be today. Let me ask you this question. And this as well as I'm asking this question to you all. I'm asking myself the same question. Question that was posed to me by the Lord like 2 years ago. And it was right. I was my pastor asked me to preach that week. And when I was getting the message together that week, the Lord asked me a question. And it was mainly like two questions in one question. And I want you to think about this just as well as I'm thinking about it. Because we all need to work on ourselves. We all need to allow the Lord to work on us. But the question was, what would you do if I was to come right now? What would you do if I was to come right now? If I was to come right now, what would you do? Would you go to heaven or would you be left behind? If you were left behind, where would you go? How would you feel? Because his spirit, once the Lord comes back, and this is a warning to everybody, even a warning to myself,
Once the Lord comes back and he takes the church out of here, his spirit will not be on the earth, because his spirit won't need to be on the earth. The devil will have full reign over the earth. The devil will have full reign over the earth. He'll be able to do whatever he wants to do. The only reason why the devil cannot take over your life, my life, and other people's lives is because the Lord's spirit is still on the earth and because God's people are on the earth. That's why the devil can only have an extent of where he can go. That's why he can only go so far, just like he did with Job. But once the rapture takes place, the devil has full reign. So the same question, and that question has been playing over in my head all week long. There are some things that even myself I need to get right. There's some things I need to work on. Not that anybody's sinning, and I'm not saying nothing like that, but I'm saying there are sins of commission and there are sins of omission. There's sometimes where we think a thought, where somebody getting on our nerves and we think a thought like, man, if this person does not shut up, or if this person don't leave me alone, I'm going to knock their head off. And you feel that spirit. That's sin. Because you thinking violence. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That's a sin. That's the sins of, and then we got people that's doing stuff. They know better. They doing it. Sins of commission, omission. But we got to get rid of all of it. We got to get rid of all the sin, because there will be no sin in heaven. There is no sin in heaven now. That's why I know everybody ain't going to heaven. And I'll even use myself. If I'm out of order, and I'm talking about with my walk with Christ, and the rapture takes place, I'm lost. That goes for everybody. Well, you're Minister Adam Tucker. It don't matter. I can be minister whoever. I can be bishop whoever. I can be pastor whoever. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I understand that. But we must understand. We, as God's people, we must understand that we must come underneath the hand of God. We must come up underneath the hand of God. That's why the Bible says repent daily. We got to repent. There's some things that we ain't repenting for, and that's still in falling in love, back in love with your first love. Confession is good for the soul. Now, I'm not telling you to confess to everybody in the world, because everybody in the world don't need to know your confessions. Neither mine, neither. And I ain't saying confess to a sinner either, because that ain't good either. Take it to your pastor. Amen. Take it to God has put over you. Because don't you know that if you go, you can't go throughout this life. And I'm going to say this. You can't keep your love for Christ without confessing. You can't. Because we've all done things wrong. And I'm not talking about, well,
Well, I've been baptized. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I've never done anything wrong after that. Well, that's good for you. Just keep on living. Just keep on living. That's why the Bible says repent daily. Repent, leave whatever it is alone. If you know you messed up, get it right. You can get it right. As long as God ain't came back yet, you can get it right. If God has blessed you to wake up today, you got a chance to get it right. That's the mercy of God. Everybody talks about the grace and the mercy of God. And how, I don't like pastors and preachers that say, well, you can continue to sin because you're up underneath the dispensation of grace. The devil is a liar. That ain't God's love. That is your flesh. And whoever else is doing it, that's their flesh. That ain't God's love. God's love is for you to wake up the next morning and for you to have the opportunity to get it right. You didn't die in your sins. That's God's love. That's God's love. That's God's grace. That's God's mercy. That is the dispensation of grace. He gave you another day to get it right. That's the dispensation of grace right there. Bow. In a nutshell. He gave you another opportunity to get up and get it right. That's the dispensation of grace. Not to continue to waddle in it. No, that's not the dispensation of grace. That is sin. That's sin. And I don't care who it is. That goes for me. That goes for the whoever. That goes from the highest to the highest, to the lowest to the low. From the rich man to the poor man, to the preacher to the lowest child. The Bible says he has no respect of person. So we have to understand that today we must fall back in love with our first love. Because there's going to come a day where we won't be able to fall in love again with our first love. And some people, let me tell y'all, you don't want to fall out of love with Christ. Because especially the one, and I'm talking to the ones that are on the fence. One minute you in, one minute you out, one minute you in, one minute you out. 1 month you in, 1 month you out. Look, let me tell you something. God has something called a reprobated mind that he puts people under after a while. Now, being under a reprobated mind does not happen overnight. I will say that. But if you fall up underneath a reprobated mind, that means God is done. You might say, well, God is done. What do you mean? That's not love. He loves us. He still loves you. But he's done. He's tired of you playing games with him. And he will turn you over to a reprobated mind. And if you're a reprobate, you have no hope. You have no hope. The only hope that you have is that you hope and pray that God will bring you out of a reprobated state, because he can bring you out. But if a person's a reprobate, that's a bad thing. And look, let me tell you something else. If you fall out of line with God and you fall out of his grace and you fall, because a lot of people, they fall out of grace. They're not underneath the dispensation of grace. They fall out of grace. But they, yes, were underneath the dispensation of grace, but they fall out of his grace by doing what they do. But out of his love, he gives us another day to get it right. Because the Bible does tell us, must we continue in sin that grace may abide? God forbid. He don't want you to take advantage of his grace. He don't want you to take, he don't want you to desecrate his grace. That's desecrating his grace when you continue to say, well, I'm up underneath the dispensation of grace. I continue to do what I want to do. That's not falling in love with him. That's not being in a relationship with him either. That's you being a one way. That's you, me, or whoever else that is doing that. That's underneath that one-sided relationship. We're going to do it my way. God going to do it my way, or it's no way. God's going to forgive me. He ain't got to forgive you. He ain't got to forgive me neither. I told somebody on my job one day, I was talking to one of my coworkers, and they were talking to me about the job that I work. Now they were telling me, you know, I'm just gonna leave because, you know, the manager's not doing this, the boss is not doing that, the boss is not doing this. And I told them, I said, wait a minute. First of all, you gotta understand that this boss is human. Gotta understand that. This boss has to see the needs of everybody in this place. This boss has to undersee the needs of everybody that comes into this place. Not neglecting your needs, but they have other people's needs that they got to look out after. They got their needs that they got to look out after. And I begin to tell that individual, you go out and you look for you another job. You get you another job that's bigger, that pays better. Might look like the grass is greener on the other side if I leave, but guess what? I guarantee you, if you go to that much bigger facility, because I was telling them this, if you go to that much bigger facility, you're going to have much bigger problems than what you have over here. You have to understand that, and I told this individual, you have to understand this. You were in that interview. It wasn't them. They didn't drag you to that interview. They didn't tell you to fill out the application. They didn't tell you to one day sit down at a computer and start filling out the app. They didn't even tell you to come to the interview. They didn't even tell you when you came to the interview, then when they gave you the job, they didn't tell you to say, yes, I'll take it. And they began to think, well, my pay is not this way, and they promised me that, okay, let them work on it. Tell them your needs and let them do their job. That's the same thing with the Lord. And like I told them, and this was the biggest factor right there that I told them, this job that you applied for here, you have to understand, you went into an interview. They wanted to view who you were to see if you were the right fit for the job. They wanted to see if you were the right fit for this job. Which means they don't need you. You need them because you were given the chance to do an interview. They were viewing you. You're not viewing them. And that's the same thing with the Lord. The Lord don't need us. We need him. He said that many are called, but few are chosen. Gifts and callings come without repentance. You can have a gift, you can have a calling, but until you have the anointing on the inside of you, it is sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. The Lord don't need you. We need him.
And that's where we find ourselves, coming to the full knowledge of falling back in love with our first love. That's where we find ourselves, when we find ourselves falling in love with our first love again. God don't need you. You need him. When he tells you to pray more, he's looking out for you. You're not looking out for him. When he tells you to pray for an individual, you're not looking out for him. He has many, many people that want to do the job. Like I told that individual, they got many people that they could have interviewed before you. That's why the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Just like I told that individual on that job, they had many interviews before they got to you, but they chose you. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many people were called to that interview. Some didn't show up. Some came. Some they didn't like. Some they liked, but they chose you. They chose you because they thought you were a good fit for the job. The Lord chose you. The Lord saw fit to save you, to put you in that line of work, to put you in that ministry, because he knew that you could handle it, because he knew that you would hold on to it. He knew that you would take care of it, the ministry that God has given you, the calling that he's given you. That's why the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. If you're not chosen, you got to be chosen to be saved. You got to be chosen. Because many will hear the word, but they won't take the word. They won't eat the whole roll of the word. They'll hear it. But hearing it and doing it are two different things. That's why I said, you can go to church and not be in church. You can go in that building and not be in there spiritually. There's a lot of people that have fallen out of love with their first love because they've been to church. They've been to church all their life and ain't been to church. That's deep. You've been to church, but ain't been to church. Been to church 40 years. Sitting in the same pew for 40 years, but ain't been to church not one time. Because you ain't fell in love with Christ, or you fell out of love with Christ. Once there was a time you were coming to church and you were in the church, but you fell out of love with him. That's why we all need to do our first works over. Some of us need to do our first works over again. Do a little bit more repentance. And repentance, that don't mean that I repent and then I just go back to what I was doing. Repentance means when you talk about repentance, it's not talking about doing a 360, because a 360 will turn you right back around to where you were. But all repentance is doing a 180. It's turning and doing 180. Because when you do a 180, you are turned from the opposite of where you were. That's doing that 180. And unless there is an anointing on the inside of you, you cannot function right in ministry and in life without the anointing, without being saved. There is no sin in heaven. There is no sin. And that goes for man, woman, boy, and girl. The Bible says, I saw the dead, small and great. Bible also says that he has no respect or person. Which means if it meant for one, it means for all. And that's out of his love. He's not showing any favoritism.
If you got sin in your life and you die in sin, sin ends up in hell. There's only two places. There is no purgatory. There is no in-between. There is no gray area. It's either black or white. It's either light or darkness. There is no purgatory. There is no in-between. There is no gray area. And that's what people, that's what some people fail to realize. That's what some people fail to understand. There is no gray area when it comes to falling in love with our first lover. See, and look, let me tell you something. When it comes to the relationship with God, it is not a democracy, but it is a dictatorship. Uh-oh. You might say, well, that's not love. That's God telling us what to do. He owns you anyway. Believe it or not, we done already read that we live and we move and we have our very being in Him. We can't move without Him. We can't live without Him. If He wanted to, He could have took us out a long, long time ago, in the midst of our sins, when we knew we were messing up. But God ain't playing games with nobody. God ain't gonna force you to serve Him, but God ain't gonna let you into the kingdom either with sin in your life. So we can keep playing if we want to, as human beings. Yes, God is a loving God, but He's also a God of wrath. He's also a God of wrath, and I'd rather for Him to be over my life than not being over my life. That's why the Bible says train up a child in the way they should go. But when they're old, they will not depart. Because whatever God has put on the inside of you, whatever your parents have put on the inside of your life, that is the foundation, as we were talking about earlier. That is the very foundation. If you know the Word of God, if you understand the Word, if you understand a book, you can understand the Word of God. If you can understand, look, I'm going to say it like I tell my children, like my great-grandmother used to tell me. If you can understand all that stuff on YouTube and on these video games and all this stuff, you can understand. My grandmother used to tell me, if you can understand all them all, because I've said it before. As a kid, I used to love watching pro wrestling on TV. And my great grandmother hated the fact that I loved wrestling. But she used to say, Adam, if you can understand all them wrestlers' names and their moves and all that stuff, you can understand your schoolwork. Well, I'm here to tell the world, live on this broadcast, that if you can understand the world, you can understand the Word of God. He make that word so easy that even a dummy can understand it. And when I say dummy, I mean a person that has a learning disability can understand it. And you want to know how I know that a person with a learning disability can understand it? Because you listening to one right now. Would have never known. Yes, Adam Tuggle was diagnosed by a doctor and by a teacher as having a learning disability, but you'd never know it. My testimony is that I didn't learn how to read until I until I got into high school. Yes, I was illiterate. But you know, one of the things that taught me how to read, and I've said this testimony on the show before, one of the things that taught me how to read was the fact that, well, the main thing that taught me how to read, really, was reading the Word of God. That's the first book I actually learned how to read fluently without any stumbles in it. And I didn't really learn how to read until I got into high school because I would always stumble over my words. But when I read the Bible, I wouldn't stumble. Now, there are some names in there, y'all. You know, there are some names in there that, you know, they you know, you really don't know how to say in there, and that's all right. I'm not talking about stuff like that, but the main core of the Word of God I understood. The Lord allowed me to understand it very well, too. And the main thing, he allowed me to understand what Acts 2 and 38 said. Acts 2 and 38 brings you life. Founded in the New Testament. That's what he died for. That's the sermon that Peter preached. There's a lot of people, and this is another show for another day, but there's a lot of people that take Matthew 28:19 and they run with it. Matthew 28:19 says that a person that to go ye therefore preaching and teaching and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And a lot of people run with that scripture. And they think that, hey, that's it. That's it. No. That's not it. Acts 2 and 38, that's it. Acts 2, 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:19 only says that, hey, it shows you who the Father is, who the Son is, who the Holy Ghost is. But it does not say, you can't find anywhere in the Word of God. You can't find it. And if you can, and if a person is able to find it, I want you to come on this show and show it to me. That somebody was baptized underneath in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And if you can find it, I promise you, everything that I've ever said on this show, I will say that everything I said on this show about Acts 2 and 38 is a lie. But I guarantee you won't be able to find it. Nobody in the Word of God from the Old Testament to the New Testament was ever baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that's the way people are taking it now. They're taking it that you could be baptized in Jesus' name, you can be baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be baptized at all. The Lord didn't say that. We must fall in love with our first love again. Our first love is Jesus Christ. All this other stuff don't mount to a hill of a bean. I don't care if it's a man. I don't care if it's a woman. I'll even go deeper than that. I don't care if it's a child. You're not supposed to love your child more than you love God. You're not supposed to love your spouse more than you love God. I'll take it deeper than that. You're not even supposed to love yourself more than you love God. Once you come up underneath the knowledge of loving God, you'll learn how to love yourself. You'll learn, and I mean truly love God, not just by words, but by action, because he looks more at our actions than he does our words. We can say it, I said it earlier. We can say it all day that we love God, but he looks at the heart of a person. He don't necessarily look at the words of a person. And you could say, a person could say that they believe God and they believe in him. Well, I believe in him, and I believe that he exists, and I believe, belief is an action word. I believe that this chair can hold me up that I'm sitting in, but until I sit in it, my belief is non-void. That's the same thing with the baptism in Jesus' name. You got to repent. That's your spiritual death. Repentance, because you can't physically go to a cross. Then you got to be the old man. Once you repent, your old self, your old man has died. Well, everything dead got to be buried, right? You got to go down in the name of Jesus Christ. You got to go down. Just like you go to a funeral, that body is put in a grave. That body's not just left out. The body's put in a grave. Well, spiritually, once you spiritually have died, in repentance, you repented of your sins. That sinful nature, that sinful man dies. And that sinful nature and that sinful man needs to be buried. And that sinful nature, that sinful man goes into a liquid grave and is buried. Baptism in the Hebrew is another word for baptizo, which means submerge. How do you submerge somebody in water? You bury them up underneath it. You bury them up underneath it. And you come up, you go down in Jesus' name, you come up in Jesus' name. And you come up speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And once you go down in that liquid grave, you'll come up brand new. As it states in Acts 2:38, you'll be filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. Well, why do I need to speak in tongues? I've never spoken in tongues. When I caught the Holy Ghost, I didn't speak in tongues. Look, let me tell you something. Nobody catches the Holy Ghost. You receive it. It didn't say catch. It said receive. Just because a person's shouting all over a church does not mean that they have the Holy Ghost. A sinner can praise the Lord. A sinner can shout around a church. How do we know this? The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. A sinner can praise the Lord. Doesn't mean they have the Holy Ghost. A saint can praise the Lord, but everybody can worship God, and that is a part of your first love. You got to worship him, because he who worships him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You got to worship him in the beauty of holiness, and you can't be holy without the Holy Ghost. You can't make it without the Holy Ghost. You might ask why. In these last couple minutes of this show, I'm going to explain this to people. You might ask why. Why do I need to be baptized in Jesus' name? Well, I'm going to say it like this. If you have a check for $1 million, or I'll do it like this, because some people, I'm about to break the controversy. Some people ask, why is it anybody's business, or why is it anybody's business on how I should be baptized, on what name I should be baptized in? I should be able to have a choice to be baptized in the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, or in Jesus' name, or not to be baptized at all. Well, let me explain it to you. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are not a name. Those are not names. Those are titles. He didn't say be baptized in titles. He said be baptized in his name. My Father, I took on his last name, which means should something happen, should had something happen as me being a little child, I would have reaped the benefits of my father because I had my father's name. I would have had my father's benefits. My mother and my father, my mother can now reap the benefits of my father's name. Because why? She took on his last name in marriage. And when you are in a relationship with God, you take on his name through baptism in Jesus' name. And you reap the benefits. It's just like, okay, then this is all falling in line with falling with your first love. Because if you love somebody, you want them, and if you want to marry them, you want them to take on your name. You want them to have the benefits you have. But you might say, well, I don't need to be baptized in Jesus' name, or I don't need to take on his name to reap his benefits because I'm already blessed. I've said it on the show. We all have a measure of being born blessed. Yes, we are, because he reigns over the just as well as the unjust. But watch this. I can do something for my friend that doesn't carry my last name. Don't mean I do everything for him. Don't mean I'll do so much for them, but it wouldn't be like I do for my wife. It wouldn't be like I do for my children. Why? Because they don't have my last name. My wife has my last name. My children, they have my name. They have my name. So they reap the benefits of what other people on the outside wouldn't reap. But people on the outside have reaped benefits of what? This house. How do I know? Because me and my wife have been able to give to people, reaping the benefits of the house. Amen? But when you take on his name, I'm not talking about the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, because those are titles given to him. Just like me, I have titles given to me. I'm a father, I'm a husband, and I'm a son. But my name is Adam. Ain't nobody going to be walking around me calling me son unless it's my father or my mother. I'm going to look at them like they're crazy. I'm sorry. Hey, son, you are not my father. You are not my mother. I'm not going to say it that way. But I'm going to look at them like you're kind of crazy. Wait a minute. Ain't nobody going to no woman in the world is going to be walking around me talking about, hey, husband, unless it's my wife. That's going to be kind of crazy. I ain't going to be over there calling somebody else my wife. That's crazy. I have a name. My name is not husband. My name is Adam. And that's the same thing with God. Once you come up underneath his name, you reap the benefits of his name. If you take a check to a bank for $1 million, they're not going to put that you are a mother or you're a daughter or you're a sister. They're not going to put that you're a brother or a man or a husband or a father. They're going to put your name on that check. Because that bank, if you put that you are a husband, a father, or a son, or a mother, or whatever on there, and you don't put your name on there and you take that check to that bank, you might as well take that check because that check is non-void. You won't be receiving that money. You won't be receiving that money. Might as well not even take the check in because you ain't going to be receiving the money. But if you got your name on that check, then you can receive that money. You got your name on that check and you got your ID, you can receive that money. And God wrote you out that check, and God wrote you out your spiritual check, and he gave you your spiritual identity. He allowed you to cash in to receive the Holy Ghost in his name. Because your name couldn't go there because you were born and shaping in iniquity. You were born and shaping in sin, so your name couldn't go there. But he put his name there. for future tense. He said, I'm going to put my name on here, and my daughter or my son's going to be able to receive this. And this is not just for me. This is for generations past and present and future, should the Lord tarry. And this is why he loves us so. This is why he came. This is why he died. And we thank him. I hope that you've enjoyed this program on today. I hope that you've got something out of this. Falling back in love with your first love. We need to fall back in love with our first love on today. I pray that you have a very blessed weekend, rest of your weekend. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week. God bless you. I love you. And make sure that you take care of yourself. I do want to make an announcement before we leave off the air today. On November the 6th, that's the day before my birthday, November the 6th, we will be having a very special show, and the Lord has let me know how he wants me to do it. I am going to have Bishop Cook run the summit for that day because I'm going to give y'all my testimony that the Lord told me to give. And I'm going to allow Bishop Cook to ask any questions that the Lord would give to her to ask me about Adam and about my testimony. And that's going to be their show that day.
Amen.
And Bishop Cook's on here now. Amen. But the Lord has given me that, and the Lord, we're just going to do an open interview on that day. And the Lord wanted me to share my testimony, and I thank God for my testimony because I will be 34 years old. On
Glory
November the 7th, I have been through, and I know we got two or three minutes left, but you'll never know unless I told you. I've been through, health-wise, I've been through heart surgeries, everything, but you'll find out on that day what that hour and 30 minutes that we're on the air, you'll find out about my testimony. But that's going to be the show that day.
Amen.
And I thank God for the Spirit Alive Network praying for me. I thank God for our founder and our leader here at the Spirit Alive Network, Bishop Shalene Cook.
Bless
thank you so God much
you.
For allowing us to come. I thank you for praying, and I'm saying this live on the air, y'all, because she know I'm going to get in trouble for this later. But I thank you. I thank you for praying for me. I thank you for allowing me to come on this airway, because it was prophesied to me a long time ago that I would be ministering around the world. And
yeah,
I thank you. I thank you for being a part of that. I thank you.
God bless you, dear. My honor. Thank you, dear. God bless you.
God bless you all. Love you right here on the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. Make sure that you tune in all week long because we got some good shows for you, y'all, on this week coming up. God bless you all. We love you. And this is the Spirit Alive Network, the show and the station. Where you can get the word of God down on the inside of you to help you live a most better and prosperous life. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.